Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Three young mountain goats with a highly contagious viral skin infection have been found this winter on popular Juneau hiking trails. The infection, which can transfer to humans and pets, is called contagious eczema. Skin lesions form around the eyes, mouth, and nose. It can't kill humans, but it's typically more severe and deadly in lambs and goat kids. Carl Koch is the Juneau area biologist at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says a hiker found the third mountain goat kid dead on Perseverance Trail in mid-March.
It was on the trail in a steep area, and the hiker used sticks or something so that they didn't touch it and kind of shoved it over the edge so that nobody else's dog would run into it.
In January, Fish and Game euthanized a mountain goat kid with advanced stages of eczema that a hiker had found and taken home from the same trail. And the month prior, another was found dead on the nearby Flume Trail. In people, the infection is called ORF and is typically mild. If a person is infected, a lesion usually appears within a week of exposure. It's not fatal to humans or dogs, and skin lesions typically go away on their own after several weeks. The city's Parks and Recreation Department is working with Fish and Game to post signs about eczema where infected goats have been seen on highly trafficked trails to educate the public. Here's Director Mark Wheeler.
We just really want people to know how contagious this stuff is and primarily keep their dogs away from these goats, because the goats can transmit it to the dogs and the dogs can transmit it to humans, and there's no real cure for this stuff as far as I know.
Wheeler says the signs are already up on the Flume Trailhead and the Mount Roberts Trailhead, and the department is putting more up at Perseverance, Sheep Creek, and West Peak trailheads this week. He recommends hikers keep dogs on leash. Fish and Game requests that people report eczema cases to the Wildlife Disease Surveillance Hotline at 907-328-8354 or by calling the local Fish and Game office. The Juneau Assembly voted last night to end the city's involvement in Eagle Crest Ski Area's controversial gondola project and pay back a $10 million investment from Gold Belt Incorporated. The Assembly's vote came during a Finance Committee meeting, which means it isn't final. Procedurally, the Assembly still needs to introduce an ordinance, take public testimony, and take a vote. But Wednesday's 6-3 vote marked a major pivot away from the city's investment in the gondola project, which has been plagued with controversy since it was purchased in 2022. Its price tag has ballooned into a potential cost of as much as $37 million. Members Christine Wall, Paul Kelly, Ella Atkinson, Nano Brooks, Alicia Hughes-Scandies, and Mayor Beth Weldon voted in favor of the motion to end the project, while Deputy Mayor Greg Smith and Assembly members Neil Steiniger and Maureen Hall voted against it. Here's Christine Wall explaining her vote.
We have to stop this current situation we're in of losing money for a project that will not pencil out in its current form.
But Steiniger, who's the Assembly liaison to the Eagle Crest Board, says he's not ready to give up. He argues the Assembly is moving forward to end the project prematurely.
It is a project that's profitable. And I think we need to do a little bit more due diligence before we say we're going to completely stop this project.
Despite the Assembly's vote, the door still isn't fully closed on the gondola. In the motion, the Assembly asked the Eagle Crest Board to continue searching for other project investors who may want to pay for the gondola project themselves. In an interview after the vote, Eagle Crest Board Chair Brandon Cullum says he's not surprised by the Assembly's decision, but is still optimistic the project might still be built.
You know, I think it's just a matter of getting professional help and, you know, framing our presentation in a way that's attractive and competent and just seeing if anyone out there wants to take advantage of the opportunities we have.
The cost for the city backing out of the revenue sharing agreement with Gold Belt is roughly $9 million. How that will be paid for is still up in the air, though the Assembly asked city staff to look for other avenues of compensation that aren't just cash. The Assembly's proposed ordinance is slated to be up for a public hearing on May 18th. The Eagle Crest Board has a regular meeting tonight at 5:30 p.m. And Alaska school districts consistently build budgets based on many uncertainties. A bill that aims to stabilize the budgeting process moved out of the House Education Committee on Wednesday. KTOO's Jamie Deep reports there's still a long road ahead before the bill becomes law.
House Bill 261 would change how students in certain schools are counted under the state's education funding formula. This would allow school districts to budget with more certainty and to smooth out the effects of declining enrollments. The bill would allow school districts to use known numbers instead of projections to build their budgets. That means school districts can take the student count from the prior year or a three-year average of prior years. Since the bill's introduction, Representative Andy Story, a Juneau Democrat and the bill's sponsor, added another option districts could use. If the current year's student count is at least 5% greater than the other two options, that can be used instead. Story explains why during a March committee meeting.
If they get a 5% bump in a smaller district, it's significant revenue to them, and it helps them very much plan a curriculum, because in smaller schools, that is significant.
The revised version also changes another major piece of the bill that addresses how the state counts students who receive intensive services. Those students are counted 13 times in the state's funding formula. It removed an option that story says could inflate the actual number of students who require those services. In the most recent fiscal note for the bill, the Department of Education and Early Development, or DEED, estimated the bill would cost the state more than $100 million. Most districts would end up receiving more funding as a result of the bill passing. Some districts would also lose funding, including the Bristol Bay Borough School District. The department estimates it would lose more than 40% of its state funding. But the bill passed out of the House Education Committee with two more amendments that would change how much money districts receive. A new fiscal note hasn't come out yet, but the representative with DEED told KTOL that it would increase the cost to the state. One amendment from Anchorage Democrat Representative Ted Eichscheid would prevent DEED from taking money away from a district if a student with intensive needs leaves.
The idea there is a lot of times staff have been hired already and under contract to deal with that student. And so it's meant to kind of hold harmless the district that takes in an intensive needs student initially.
Another amendment from Representative Rebecca Hinshute, a Sitka Independent, brings back language that would allow alternative schools to be counted in a way that brings the district more funding. Representative Story had initially taken that language out to reduce the cost of the bill, but Hinshute says that funding is important for students.
We're all aware that those students generally require at least as much support as students in all the other schools. So this is saying that we're going to support them at the same level.
The bill passed out of the Education Committee and will be taken up by the House Finance Committee next. If it's passed by the House, it will head to the Senate for further consideration. The legislative session is scheduled to end on May 20th. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And as the Alaska Folk Festival approaches, so does a big spike in activity at downtown bars. And with that comes concerns about drink safety. KTOO spoke with two people in Juneau who work to prevent assaults in different ways. They say it's everyone's responsibility to look out for each other.
Tawny Letterman has served drinks at bars for 16 years. She says the possibility of being drugged and assaulted is something people have to consider when they go out.
I definitely think that there should be a world where people are allowed to walk away from their drinks. Do we exist in that world? Probably not. There's really insidious people out there, and they walk among us.
Letterman is a manager at Devil's Club Brewing now, but she says she's always made sure bartenders she works with see themselves as responsible for preventing those kinds of attacks. That means paying attention to the crowd and keeping an eye out for unprotected drinks and unsafe behavior.
When I was bartending, I was always really cognizant of the same person coming up and getting drinks for like one specific person, so much to the fact that I would go out of my way to go to that person and be like, hey, are you consenting to these drinks? Like, do you want this drink?
She wants to remind people that they can always reject a drink someone offers them, even if it may feel rude or wasteful.
I am not going to give a drink to a person who is not consenting. This is a substance that can be and is dangerous.
And if someone notices something weird or a person is making them uncomfortable, Letterman says they ought to tell the bartenders. Mandy Cole is the director of AWARE, Juneau's domestic violence and sexual assault prevention and support organization. She says everyone needs to look out for each other to stop these kinds of attacks, instead of seeing it as only the responsibility of the person who might be drugged.
The idea is that collectively we can stop it. Individually, it's very difficult to stop.
Cole says that the more that everyone is looking out for everyone else, the less perpetrators can get away with isolating and harming people.
It's not that no one put their drink down when they go to the bathroom. It's that we're all understanding that the person next to me's safety is tied to mine, is tied to the person behind the bar, the person at the other table, like that we're all watching each other's back. And that is the only way that this can stop being an effective strategy to harm people.
In fact, Cole says the people looking to harm others are counting on bystanders not speaking up. The sort of behaviors Cole says to look out for are someone trying to isolate and pull away one person or giving them a lot of direct attention for a long period of time. She says disturbing this pattern doesn't have to be a big scene. It can be as subtle as pulling the person back into the group and changing up who is talking to who.
That's the crazy, easy part of all of this, is you don't have to be certain that this person's trying to harm this person in order to interrupt the pattern. You can still interrupt it just because it feels a little off.
And Cole says if nothing nefarious is happening, this shouldn't be too disruptive to anyone's personal life.
And if they were destined to meet and fall in love, like, that can still happen. Even if you, you know, change the group configuration, or you ask the, you know, person to sit by you for a little while.
If anything does happen on a night out that leaves you feeling unsettled or uncomfortable, Cole says anyone of any gender can contact AWARE for medical attention, testing, and support. AWARE's crisis line is 907-586-1090. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. And two Alaska inmates died in the past week, according to the Department of Corrections press releases. Johnny Allen Nishukpuk was 63 years old, and Jeffrey Mulifei was 66 years old. They were both most recently housed at Goose Creek Correctional Center in Wasilla. They're the first two deaths reported in custody this year. Nishukpuk began serving a sentence for sexual assault in 2009. Mulifei was convicted of sexual assault in 2012. A spokesperson for the department did not immediately respond to questions about how the men died. According to case records, Nishukpuk was scheduled for a hearing next month with the parole board to consider an early release. At least 18 Alaskans died in custody of the Department of Corrections last year, matching the state's record number of deaths, which was in 2022. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 41 degrees and a bit cloudy. Tonight, we may see a little bit more snow. Tomorrow, it looks like it'll turn into rain. And it looks like this weekend will be rainy, with temperatures between the mid-30s and mid-40s. This is KTOO. Thank you for tuning in.